Listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and this program is Heart of Mind Radio. On Heart of Mind, we bring to you new ideas, new opportunities, and our focus is primarily consciousness, spirituality, and health. And we look into things metaphysical as well as the physical. And today we're going to be speaking with John Monroe, who is a vision improvement educator. And he'll be doing an event coming up in August with his partner, Jean Mainzer, who is a kinesiologist. So we're going to be speaking today about what you can do to improve your vision in a natural way. So I want to say hello and welcome to John Monroe.
Yeah, hi, Kathy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be able to share your work here on the Progressive Radio Network. And since people haven't really been introduced to your work or to the work of Dr. Deborah Banker, perhaps it would be good to start at the beginning. And you were trained by Dr. Banker, who has now passed away, but she created an amazing holistic natural vision improvement system. So can we start by talking a little bit about Dr. Deborah Banker, and then I would like to weave into that how you came to know her and then become her protege.
Well, I met Dr. Banker back in 1991 in California when I was living in Los Angeles. She actually had a clinic right outside of Malibu in Calabasas, California. And she started her practice back in 1984 in Santa Monica, and then moved over to Calabasas. And I was having some issues with my eyes, and a friend of mine introduced me to her. And back then they called her the Eye Lady of Malibu. And she had a whole different approach to helping people with eye problems, different types of eye diseases like cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy. There's just a whole lot of these problems that people develop. You know, it's amazing when I started working with her to see all these different eye problems and how many people actually had eye problems. And she went to universities for 14 years and studied medicine, and she had all types of different degrees. I mean, she was a cataract surgeon and also a general practitioner, herbologist, a nutritionalist, an acupuncturist. So she had a whole array of things that she was into. And when I met her, she was developing her self-help vision care kit, which is a kit that people can use at home. They don't have to go anywhere to do this. They can work at home. It's for all ages. We've worked with children 4 years old to people in their 90s with her program. And basically, it contains a manual. There's two videos on DVD. There's four CDs that have information on eye exercises and nutrition, self-hypnosis, how glasses may be harmful for the eyes, how to reverse negativity. Just a lot of different things are on the CDs. And also in the kit, there's a big eye chart for checking your distance vision. You can actually check your vision at home. And there's another eye chart in there. It's a near vision card that you hold 14 inches in front of you, and you can actually check your reading vision. Most people have never even seen this eye chart before. So usually when you go to the eye doctor, they check your distance vision, but rarely do they check your reading vision. So it's a complete mm-hmm. program that works really well, and it's designed to use at home.
Okay. Now, let's get back for a moment to explain to people in a more personal way your experience. So can you tell us something about the problems that you had with your eyes and how you were able to use these different charts and techniques to improve your situation?
Well, in 1980, I had glasses. I started wearing glasses when I was in the first grade. And, you know, over time, you become more and more nearsighted. You know, your vision gets worse, you're getting stronger glasses, you're actually becoming more blind. And in 1980, I had a surgery called radiokeratotomy, and it was supposed to be real simple, and you would get rid of your glasses. You wouldn't need them anymore. It's what they were doing before LASIK surgery. You know, they were doing the radiokeratotomy. And so I had it done, and but it only improved my eyesight like 50%. I still had to wear glasses. And, you know, I went on like that. But 9 years after the surgery in 1989, I had a detached retina in my left eye. And then about 6 months later, I had a detached retina in my right eye. And then I had to have surgery to reattach these retinas. And when they did that, they actually bumped my lenses with their surgical equipment, you know, when they're doing the surgery, and that started a post-subcapsular cataract in each eye. And I developed pigmentary glaucoma, you know, from the radiokeratotomy. So I did have a lot of different eye problems. And that's how I met Dr. Banker, and started working with the eye exercises, nutritional changes, using Chinese herbal medicines. Also, I was doing treatments with her SEEDS device, which is a piece of equipment that she developed and designed. And electrodes are put over the eyes, the liver, one over each kidney, and you lay there and relax for a few hours. And they put out electromagnetic fields and subtle energy frequencies, these electrodes. And it starts cells growing again. You know, it charges up the particles and the atoms. And when you do that, the cells can start growing. So it kind of helps regrow tissue, and it's real good for retinal problems and other things, reversing cataracts, glaucoma problems. So it was pretty amazing to see all this, you know, and then other patients coming in and out of the clinic that were having a lot of success, where, you know, the other standard eye doctors couldn't do anything for these people. So it was quite interesting to see how this all worked. And, you know, I started working at the clinic with her. And over the years, I learned how, you know, all this works and how this approach of hers can help people, and kind of just picked it up, and now I'm just carrying on her work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So were you able to improve your vision at all? I understand that you do still have vision challenges, but were you able to improve your own vision with these?
It seemed like I was having one problem after another, and we stabilized all that, and I have improved my sight some. I still have some optic nerve damage from the glaucoma, and that's what I'm working on now. And I've even improved some of the optic nerve damage working with this.
That's cool. So for people who are listening, I would like to give them a little bit more substance to the information so that they can really consider coming to your event. And for people who are interested in improving their eyesight using holistic techniques, it's going to be at the New York Society for Ethical Culture on Wednesday, August 9th, so there's some time to plan, from 7 to 8:30. And you can get information about this by going to the website drbanker.com, drbanker.com. And you can find out how to register for this event. But, John, I would like to talk to people about some eye conditions. You know, you've mentioned that there have been improvement that you witnessed when Dr. Banker was still alive, but you've been doing this yourself for how many years now?
Well, Dr. Banker passed away in May 2007, and she asked me before she passed away, you know, if I wanted to continue running the business and working with it. You know, that was fine with her and her family. So since, I would say, June 2007, I've been running the business with Jeannie Mainzer, my partner. She worked with Dr. Banker, too, in the clinic. And she's a certified kinesiologist. She went to UCLA for 8 years. And so me and Jeannie are working together on running the business. So we do workshops and expos, and, you know, I'm here during the week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. at night, where people can call and you know, see what we can do for them. Because we help people where they're at, you know. We can help them with changing their diet. They can get products from us, herbs. There's things locally that they can get to help their eye problems. And we just continue on working with Dr. Banker's protocol and her kit and different things. And I'm always learning new things from other doctors. I listen to a lot of health radio shows and pick up things other people are doing. And there's also a lot of things they're doing now with stem cells for the eyes and for macular degeneration and optic nerve damage and different eye problems. So there's a lot of things moving forward, you know, over the years. So I just sit here and look for different things and learn new things and pass it on to the people out there.
Okay. What I'm getting at, however, this is all good information, because I think that it's important to keep your practice alive and progressing by incorporating new discoveries and new technologies. But for people to have a better concept of what you're speaking of, we have to give them some information. We have to give them some examples of what's possible. And so what I'm really asking you to begin speaking about is some experiences that people you've worked with, what they might have been able to accomplish, and maybe a little information, giving people a taste of what they'd be able to learn at this workshop so they can understand the value of it.
Okay? Well, what we're going to do at the
What I'm asking you, yeah, John, is to share some information with people about it.
Right.
So let's look at the situation with glaucoma, okay? Now, you were saying that, you know, after a while, glaucoma can create damage to the eye. So what I'm asking you to do is to lay out for people what the dynamics are for glaucoma. You know, is surgery necessary? At what point is surgery necessary? What are some of the dangers of medications? What are some of the dangers of surgery? What are the risks of not having surgery? So even though I understand you're going to be doing a lecture, it's important for people to gather information as well now from this program.
Well, glaucoma, there's different types of glaucoma, but most people develop open-angle, closed-angle, or narrow-angle glaucoma. There are rare occasions for notch glaucoma, and there's just a lot of different ones that people can develop. But reading glasses and bifocals and trifocals, after using those for 10 years or more, you can start developing glaucoma and cataracts from using them. And we explain how this happens at the lecture. But we've had people just working with the eye exercises to improve the reading vision can also help the glaucoma and cataract condition. Because there's a muscle inside of the eye that goes around the lens, and it's called the ciliary body. And it's like a rubber band. It's a sphincter muscle. And that's the muscle you read with. And whenever you try to read small print, or look at something up close, your brain notices that. It sends a signal to the muscle, and it tightens that muscle up. And when the muscle tightens up, it actually squeezes the lens, and the lens bulges out and gets thicker. And then when the muscle loosens up, the lens gets thinner. So it's actually a focusing mechanism in the eye. But when that muscle tightens up, it actually pulls on the Schlemm's canal. And that's a drain that lets fluid out of the eye. The eye is constantly making fluid inside, and it comes through the pupil into the cornea area, and then it drains out into the Schlemm's canal, lets the fluid drain out into the sclera, the white part of the eye. And the sclera is probably an eighth of an inch thick, and it's kind of like a sponge inside, and that's where the fluid is absorbed into the sclera. So when you have glaucoma, you're having trouble with that drain not working properly. So a lot of times, people can work with these eye exercises, get that muscle tightening and loosening and working properly again, and they'll start seeing better up close, but it pulls on the Schlemm's canal and helps open up the drain and pulls on the tissue and keeps it healthy and pliable. So I've seen a lot of people just working with these eye exercises can improve their glaucoma. Also, there's Chinese herbal medicines that we use and different things that you can get locally at the health food store to help the drain. And another problem with glaucoma is there's fine little blood vessels around the iris and the sclera where the drain is, and sometimes they can get clogged up with plaque and calcium, blood cell clumping. It's where the red blood cells clump together, and they can clog up blood vessels. But we're talking about fine little micro blood vessels and small, tiny blood vessels around the drain that aren't letting blood, oxygen, and nutrition into the tissue, and the cells in the drain can swell up and die because they're not getting enough blood, oxygen, and nutrition, and that can be another cause of glaucoma, you know, poor blood circulation. So we work on diet, nutrition, and exercise, and things that will clean out the blood vessels and help open up blood circulation to the eye. And a lot of times, people can improve their glaucoma condition working with these different approaches. And the problem with glaucoma, if the fluid in the eye starts building up in the eye because it's not draining out, it's like a balloon filling up with water. And that fluid pushes against the optic nerve and can actually crush it where it comes into the eye. And that's called optic nerve damage. And you can lose your sight from that. And, you know, when you go to the ophthalmologist, a lot of times they put you on different types of eye drops to help lower the pressure in the eye. But the bad side effect of those drops is over time they can cause cataracts to start growing in the lens. So that's the problem with using these eye drops. So after a while, after a year or two, you've got cataracts developing. And there's other things like eye drops to get the red out of your eye. I won't mention any brands, but if you're using those for a period of time, like a year or more, 2 years, you know, using these things every day, the chemicals in these eye drops, they can damage the tissue of the drain. And you can develop glaucoma from using these different, you know, eye drops to get the red out of your eye. So there's a lot of things that, you know, people are doing through their diet, cigarettes, alcohol, coffee, the tannic acid in the coffee. There's a lot of things that people do every day that are very damaging and hard on the eyes.
Well, this is true. And so that's wonderful. So thank you, because I really, the reason I needed to pull that information out of you is because, you know, we've spoken a number of times and I've seen you interact with people and really be able to help them and answer their questions. So it's important for people to really see that you have a real depth of knowledge about the eye and what can be done to improve one's eyesight. So tell us a little something more about what you're going to be sharing at your event coming up in August.
Well, the lecture, it's from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., and the doors open at 6 p.m. And we're doing the we're going to do the lecture in Social Hall. It's a big lecture room over there at the New York Society for Ethical Culture building. That's in Central Park West area. And the room holds like 275 people, and they have a real nice sound system. And I'll be covering all these different eye problems and things that you can do for them. We work with nearsightedness, people that are farsighted, presbyopia, that's trouble reading small print. We're also going to cover cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, retinitis pigmentosa. I mean, there's a whole gamut of different eye problems I'll be talking about, and there's things that you can do for yourself to help improve these problems. And there's also vitamins and supplements and nutrients, different foods that you can eat, foods you shouldn't eat. There's a lot to go into. And the self-help vision care kit, we're going to bring one of those with us. People will be able to see it. We have some other products we'll have, some of our Chinese herbal medicines that we use. And it'll give people a better idea of what we're doing. They can meet us. And I'll be giving out a lot of details and things people can do for themselves. So if anybody goes to the lecture, they should definitely bring like a little notepad and a pen with them to take some notes. Because there are a lot of things you can get at the health food store, you know, different organic foods and things you can get at other places. And there's just a lot of changes, you know, lifestyle changes in your diet, your attitude, your environment. So we'll be covering a lot of this at the lecture.
Okay. And I just want to make sure people have all those details. Dr. Deborah Banker, Natural Vision Improvement Lecture. And it's being presented by John Monroe and Jeannie Mainzer. And John Monroe is a vision improvement educator, and Jeannie is a kinesiologist. It's at the New York Society for Ethical Culture, Social Hall, 2 West 64th Street in New York, 10023 is the zip code. And you can connect with them directly if you need information. But the best way to get the information is to connect directly to John Monroe. The event is Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, from 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m., and the doors open at 6 p.m. Tickets are available at Eventbrite, but you can go to the website drbanker.com, and you'll find a link on the website to get your tickets. Or you can connect with John Monroe himself. So, John, why don't you give out your contact information?
Yeah, the website's drbanker.com, and right on the home page, there's some information on the upcoming lecture, a little information where it is, but there's a link there you can click on to get tickets. And it goes to eventbrite.com, and that's a ticket outlet. You can purchase a ticket, and they email it to you. You print it out and bring it to the lecture with you. And there's also a lot of information in there on our vision improvement kit, medicinal herbs. There's radio and TV interviews and things you can listen to. There's a schedule of workshops and lectures and things we're doing. So the website has a lot of information in it for people. And eventbrite.com, you can go there too and just, you know, search for an event and put in Dr. Banker Vision Improvement Lecture and it'll come up there. And it's supposed to be a really nice building over there. I think you've done some events there.
It's a lovely space. I've been there. Do you want to give out a phone number or email if people want to contact you directly?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is to call me. The office number in Boulder, Colorado, I'm on Mountain Time here. The phone number is 303-494-4532. And I'm usually here Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. in the morning till 7 p.m. at night, Mountain Time. And again, the number is 303-494-4532, and the website is drbanker.com. So yeah, if you have any questions about the work we do or the lecture, you can call here. If I don't answer, just leave a message. I get a lot of calls, and
okay.
It'll be a great lecture, and people will learn a great deal of information there. It's like spending an hour and a half with Dr. Banker.
Yeah, well, I can certainly say that you're very, very informative, and you do have a lot of information to share with people. And, you know, this is something that is a significant part of our life. If we are not able to see, if our vision is diminishing, then quality of life tends to change with that. I'm not saying that we don't still have a good quality of life, but, you know, it's a beautiful gift that we have our sight, and it would be worthwhile to protect that and improve it. It's one of those things that we're lazy about. It's so easy to get a pair of glasses. I can say that because that's what I do. I get glasses because it's the easy answer. But if we think about it, our muscles and our body atrophy when we don't exercise.
Right.
If we don't eat the right foods, the whole body ultimately comes to break down. And our eyes are just so vulnerable in that regard. It's almost like the canary in the coal mine. You could have things going on in your body or have toxins inside of your body, or all these things are going to be more potent when they impact the eyes because of all those little microvessels and very vulnerable systems that work together. So I think this is definitely worth our consideration and our exploration, because anyone who has glasses can attest to the fact that your eyesight doesn't improve with glasses. It decreases. And
well,
then you want to go get a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger.
Right.
So maybe we need to start taking our eyes to the gym.
They help you see better. You know, they help the symptom of you not seeing good, but they don't help the cause of the problem, the underlying problem, you know. Your nearsightedness can get worse. You're getting stronger and stronger prescriptions. Your reading glasses are getting stronger. You know, now you're developing a cataract, or your pressure in your eyes going up. And the glasses, they, like I said, they just help the symptom. They don't help the cause of the problem. That's where Dr. Banker comes in and has all kinds of solutions for a lot of these things. And the work we do, you know, parents get our self-help vision care kit, and they learn how to use it, and then they can teach their children how to do it. And we've helped children as young as 4 years old, you know, working with these eye exercises. And people 4 years old to people all the way up into their 90s. So it's pretty much for all ages. Anybody with eyes can work with this. and, you know, learn how to improve your sight and what's causing it to deteriorate. And there is solutions for all this. And, you know, I started doing this working full-time with her in August 93. So I've been doing this every day since then. And I've just learned a lot of, I'm always learning something new. This is doing this. This is coming out. This is another herb for this. I mean, it's just amazing how much stuff you can pick up and just move it on and pass it on to people. And when people go to one of our workshops or a lecture or they see us at an expo, they're always just amazed to actually see what we're doing and what we have. You know, it's just, they just can't believe it when they see what we're doing.
Okay. Well, hopefully people will participate and connect with you. And again, we're speaking with John Monroe. He is a vision improvement educator. His phone number is 303-494-4532. And you can find out more information at the website drbanker.com, drbanker.com. And we'll have this information on our own archive page here on Heart of Mind Radio at the Progressive Radio Network, prn.fm. So you'll be able to go there and check it out if you missed any of these details. So thank you very much, John, for joining me today. And I'm sure we'll be speaking again soon.
All right, Kathy, thanks a lot. And, you know, you're always welcome to come down to the lecture and talk a little, too. And I want to let everybody know that tickets are on sale now. And if you need some more information, feel free to give us a call.
Very good. And again, that number is 303-494-4532. Take good care, John.
All right, thanks, Kathy. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And I wanted to do a bit of a transition here and begin to think about vision from the perspective of our expanded self. Vision is really something that is a contender to our thinking processes. We can, in many ways, drown ourselves in thoughts and lose sight of that inspiration that comes to our vision. And in this regard, of course, I'm speaking of inner vision. I'm speaking in terms of going into our innate capacity to see and feel and intuit our lives, our behaviors, our interactions. And when we get into that inner visioning, it allows us to be self-inspired. And I'm going to tell you about what happened with me some years ago, actually, now. And I have been a person who does meditation for many, many years. And I started out really not being a good meditator. I started out not being able to be quiet for more than 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes at the best. And I was just persistent. I was persistent, and I would just put my energy there and go into a space where I could be quiet. And the greatest challenge, of course, for me, I guess for many, in going into the practice of meditation is contending with our thoughts. And for a number of years, I really did struggle with how to get above, below, to the side of all the thought processes that were in my mind. And after a time, you begin to get a sense of release when you're going into meditation, because as you have more experience, your thoughts begin to fade. They have less impact. And that's really one of the best benefits of meditation. But after some years, I would say even a good 20 years of being a meditator, I began to move into a different phase. And I feel this was more impacted by the energies of our collective, the general progression of collective evolution, spiritual evolution. And it was really in the vicinity of that shift that many people talk about back in 2012, when I began to experience just a spontaneous deepening in this process of meditation. And I began to go into what I would call communion with the spiritual realm. So I began to accept that, yes, indeed, my world, my life, my experience is not limited to the physical realm in which we live. So I began to engage in a conscious conversation with what I presumed at that time to be my higher self. Of course, yes, in fact, we do have this communication with the greater self. But at that time, it was a one-way conversation. There wasn't feedback. And so I would do things like go into my dream space with a question. So I might be dealing with a particular relationship or a particular workplace situation or maybe something going on with my family. And rather than moving into worrying about whatever that experience was happening, I would go into my dream space with a bit of a prayer, I guess you would say, a request, not for a solving of the problem, but for to receive through that dream space some understanding, some reconciliation, a way to understand how I could be the active problem solver in my everyday life. So I wasn't really looking for a miracle. I was looking for inspiration. And once I started doing that practice, I began to realize that I was indeed waking up with solutions to whatever it was that I was concerned about. And so I had this very real experience that something was going on in that dream time space. And this is how I really began to expand in my conscious awareness through this actual personal experience. I would recommend that if you're not doing that, you do go ahead and try that, because what happens is that you begin just through the intention of putting forth the question into that, going into sleep, then your sleep, when you wake up, will return, and you'll wake up with some inspiration, some conscious awareness of what you can do to resolve these issues. And so as I did this more, it became a more powerful process. And then one of the other things that I added to that was the affirmation process. Because the other part of, in meditation, having these thoughts that seem to be interrupting my peaceful space, I began to listen to those thoughts and recognize that these were repetitive patterns. They were, in some ways, programming that had been implanted into my mind. You know, you pick them up all through your life from your parents, from the TV, from the society around us. We get impressions of who we are and how we are supposed to be in the world. And what the mind does is it sets up these patterns, and it almost torments you or taunts you, repeats it in order to take your attention and make sure that you're really doing whatever this patterning requires. So the patterning could be healthy. It could say, you're a beautiful woman and you know, I love myself, or you're a smart guy and you can make it through the day. But more often, the patterns are things that plague us, like, oh, nobody listens to me. Oh, I don't have any power. Or it might be you're bad. When you do this behavior, you're bad. If you eat too much food, you're bad. If you're not nice to people, you're bad. And we get into these patterns of behavior that are controlled by these repetitive thoughts. And so I came to this realization once I started actually listening more with an ear of just keeping track of the thoughts that were running through my mind. And then I added to that some inspiration in the morning and some affirmations in the mornings so that I would wake up and whatever mood I woke up in, whatever thoughts were racing through my mind, I would pattern my affirmation to challenge that repetitive thought. So if I wake up in the morning and I'm thinking, oh, I'm tired, that was always a big one for me and still is a challenge, actually. I'm tired. And so after a while, I began to realize that there was a space in which I was saying to myself, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, that was actually affecting my physiology, causing me to be tired. And so what I would do waking up is begin to listen in for the pattern that was in play that day and craft an affirmation that would challenge it. So it would be, I'm energetic, I'm waking full of energy and have abundance of energy. I can get all that I want to get done today. And so after a few moments of the repetitive affirmation, it would, in that moment, dissolve the negative pattern and my body would respond with more energy. And so this really began to give me an understanding, an actual understanding of how powerful the messages are to our physiology. The messages in our mind are very powerful in controlling how we feel about things and also how our body will react energetically as we move through our day. So I found that as I was going forward that I was crafting these tools to work with the repetitive patterns in my mind. The first tool is to go to sleep with an intent. So to bring the request for the resolution of a issue, a problem, a challenge in life. And then I would wake up with that, with some insight for that. And then the second layer was to use these affirmations to challenge whatever repetitive patterns in thinking were getting in my way. And so this, as I moved along doing this, and I did this for a number of years, I began to move more smoothly into the dream space. And I began to experience the dream or the interaction that was providing me with the inspiration that I woke up with. And so as I began to have these dreams, I added to my process a dream book. And so sometimes when you first wake up, just before the day kicks in, you'll remember the dream. So I would write down my dreams and my insights, because within a few minutes, generally speaking, they would vanish. And so I began to craft all of these mechanisms for getting in touch more directly with the inner vision, the guiding force, the higher self that can help us to make our way through the day. And, you know, this was all very helpful, and it was expanding my understanding and capacity for the nature of our inner self, the inner life, the invisible self, really. The fact that we don't see that expanded self, or maybe not hear directly, or have that direct connection, it's really important to understand that we have that guiding, loving force that is doing its best to steer our path in ways that would be beneficial. So what happened is I started having these dreams in which I was lucid, and I would remember certain experiences of maybe speaking to guides that I interact with as a more expanded being, or there were experiences where I was maybe traveling and flowing, witnessing into other life streams. So I might have a dream where I was in another time of Earth, another time. But the interesting thing is that the dream, once I started writing it down, I began to realize that these dreams were also connected to the issues that we're having in the day. So within the dream, I might find either the source of my challenge, the source of whatever was bothering me, whatever insecurity I might have had. And so then I began to use that dream space information in my writing, in my affirmations. So it became a much more expansive cognitive reality that I was opening up within my life. And, you know, during this process, I reached a point where I had one really defining experience that really helped to clarify for me that thoughts are definitively not ours. They're not real, and they're not really of our own wisdom. They are more of the world. And when you think about it, the mind is a mechanism that is designed to deal with our outer world. It's designed to keep us safe in the world, to negotiate, to, you know, to make sure that we have the income that we need and the relationships that we need. And so the mind is a very, very potent and important part of ourself. But the mind itself is not the source of inspiration, is not the source of the aha, of the idea, of the creativity. The mind is more of a translator tool that helps to integrate into the world. And what happens very often, because our world is so controlling of us, that we become mechanized through the mind. We become self-enslaved in a way through our own thoughts. And this happens, as I said, through education systems, through the value systems in our society, to the family. But from my perspective, all of that can be circumvented or turned off by moving into that deeper connection to the source self, the entity, the being of you that is enlivening your body, that is bringing the life force, that is breathing through the body so that you can have this experience. There's a part of us that we're missing because our society doesn't teach us about it. It isn't that it wasn't always accessible. It's just that we're programmed in a different way. But at any rate, I was in one of these dream states, and in that state, I was more disembodied and felt myself actually more potently. I was there with my spiritual guide, my higher self guide, and we were engaged in a conversation, this counsel, I would say. I was receiving the counsel of my higher self with regard to movement on the ground, how I could interact in the world with more success and with less torment. You know, at the time I was going through some emotional issues with family and stuff. So I was in this beautiful conversation, and I became more conscious of that. So I was conscious of having this conversation, and then I was conscious of listening to the conversation and speaking these words and hearing these words of the higher self counsel. And then in the background, I began to hear thoughts very softly, and they were the thoughts of my worries. And so they would just, It was almost like a ticker tape screen, only it was audio, running across the bottom of my consciousness, very, very soft, of these words that was saying, oh, I'm in trouble. Oh, this one is in trouble. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so unhappy. So there was this, you know, faint voice of all these troubles running in the background. And then as I'm engaging in the conversation with my higher self, that noise starts to get a little bit louder. And then I could feel myself being distracted into that dialogue. And the last moment of awareness I had of being in the presence of my higher self, I was saying, I'm losing, I'm getting lost in the thoughts. I'm getting lost in the thoughts. And what happened is that gradually these thinking patterns, you know, became a cacophony in my ability to connect and communicate with the higher self diminished in equal proportion. But as that was happening, I still maintained this sort of third awareness of witnessing the whole thing that I was able to hold on to. And what I began to realize that while I was in the dream space, disengaged from my body, that these thoughts were just running through the mind. And it was just a matter of them taking my attention. And so as I, my awareness became aware of these worrisome thoughts, I had a very clear, distinct understanding that I was not these thoughts, and these thoughts really were not representative of myself. And that, for me, was a real empowering moment, because it was real clear to me that whatever was going on in a destructive way in my own mind was something that was implanted, was something that I picked up, was something that was learned, but it had really nothing to do with who I am as a being. And so that gave me so much more capacity to look at thoughts and recognize it for what it is, to disengage emotionally from those thoughts and to not give it energy. Because that's the real key. The reason thoughts tap into our emotions is because the energy of our emotions ends up in a loop with the thoughts just feeding the repetitive pattern. So when we can recognize these thoughts as just a learned behavior repetitive pattern, whatever the thoughts are, we can keep our emotional responses withdrawn from those thoughts. So if we're thinking about something our best friend said last week, we can think about it and get angry over and over and over again because we're tapping into it with the emotions. But if we can recognize it, oh, this is a repetitive pattern. It's not about anything that my friend did last week. It's about this being a repetitive pattern. So let me not invest in that pattern. So you can look at it but not put your emotions into it. And the more adept you are at withdrawing your emotions from the pattern, the more quickly those mental patterns will disappear, and the more efficiently you can bring the voice of your inner vision, your higher self, your guides, into your everyday awareness. So there's a way in which, rather than walking with the thoughts that have been implanted through societal means, you walk with the wisdom of your own divinity. And so that gives you the empowerment to have an almost immediate connection to your divine presence and the fullness of who you truly are. So I just wanted to share that with you. And we are coming to the end of this program. So I want to remind you of our guest. You can certainly find out more about the Dr. Banker lecture and it is the Natural Vision Improvement Lecture at the New York Society for Ethical Culture on Wednesday, August 9th, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. For information, go to drbanker.com, drbanker.com, or call John Monroe, 303-494-4532. I just wanted to also let everyone know that our Saturday Qigong class, this Saturday, is going to be in Prospect Park. So we're going to meet at Grand Army Plaza at 2:30 on Saturday for our Qigong meditation and movement for body wellness and stress reduction. And you can connect with me either by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. You can leave a phone message at the number 347-480-1694. Again, 347-480-1694. And you can ask about our Saturday meditation and movement for body wellness and stress reduction. It's every Saturday at 2:30 p.m. But, or you can make that phone call or send an email. And I want to thank you for joining us today at Heart of Mind Radio. And go to the webpage at prn.fm, Heart of Mind Radio, the archive page, and you'll find all the links and info that you need for what we've shared with you today. Thank you very much for joining us, and stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network, prn.fm.